Seems like everyone here votes below the line. I wonder if that's because you just want to tell everyone you're voting below the line. Let's go to Norway now, because the polls have opened as the country votes for a new national government in today's parliamentary elections. And, of course, one of the biggest issues facing this Scandinavian country, a very unusual one, particularly if you've been focusing on our election campaign, is the country has too much money, oil revenue. The problem is, how exactly are they going to go about spending it? I'm joined now by Professor Frank Orrebot, who's from the Department of Politics at the University of Bergen. Frank, thanks so much for joining us. There's a Labour government in power at the moment, but my understanding is it's facing an uphill battle in being returned.
Yes, they do. In fact, there have been no polls in the last 2 years that have indicated a government majority. So, I mean, the election outcome is hardly a surprise.
So we're looking, I suppose, at replacement with a coalition, a new centre-right coalition. Is that how cohesive is that coalition?
Well, I mean, the point is that if the opposition wins, they haven't made clear what government they will form. It could be a right-right government, a centre-right government, a minority government of only the Conservative Party, or even a centre-right government, majority government, where one of the present red-green party jumps over to the other side. So, I mean, I think somebody calculated there are at least 11 different possibilities for governments after the election. We've had 8 years of majority government, and now we are almost guaranteed to have some kind of minority government
and
or minority coalition
from,
government after this election.
This would be far from the only country to have that situation in Europe. Why would the Norwegian people, opt for a minority government over a majority government?
Well, it is paradoxically, it has to do with what you say, the sort of problem of richness. Norway is rather proud of, and has also been praised by the OECD for being the one oil country that's done the sensible thing. We haven't spent our oil money on hospitals and roads and all the nice things people want, but we have decided that only 4% of the revenues from the oil fund can be used into Norwegian politics every year, into Norwegian economy every year. This has been a consensus between the political parties that actually 4% of the revenue, not 4% of the oil fund. So we have now, together with Qatar, the world's greatest fund, and, you know, we own Regent Street and parts of Manhattan and things like that, to stash away this money. So the issue is whether you can put that into the economy right away and create inflation, high interest rates, a too strong Norwegian crown. That would make it difficult for Norwegian export industries and all that sort of thing. So we have one party, the Norwegian Progress Party, which is the ultra-right party, who really want us to spend more money, and all the other parties, including the party's potential partners in the new government, we are absolutely dead set against it, because we want to have this sort of thrifty idea of not having our economy develop so much different from our neighbors that do not have oil. In other words, we want industries that are not oil-related to survive. And if you look at what happens in other countries that find our oil, very often you find that just about all other economic activity collapses and the country becomes dependent on imports of just about every other commodity. Mm. It's a little bit, I think, you know, in one sense, it's a little bit like the Australian economy if you think about the revenues from the mining. I mean, oil and mining have something to do with one another.
Yes.
With the one exception that the Australians are selling away their property to foreign companies. We are not about to sell our oil to foreign companies.
Yes, a very different political culture around those sorts of things. And what you say confounds traditional distinctions between right and left. Just finally, though, everyone around the world would have been paying close attention to Norway a couple of years ago when Anders Behring Breivik committed that terrorist attack, and he's since been convicted for that. Mm. And that was very politically motivated, obviously, and he was shooting at young members of the Labour Party. Mm. Has that figured at all in the campaign?
Yes, but only indirectly. You know, our Prime Minister Stoltenberg came out as some kind of a hero after the terrorist attack. But he commissioned a Royal Commission to look after what had actually happened. At that Royal Commission came back with slamming the police and the preparedness of the society in general. And of course, the current government is responsible for the preparedness or for the police. So the Labour Party is traditionally in Norway been the party of government. In other words, it has this aura of being competent, the most competent party. And that report was sort of a torpedo into this aura. So the Labour Party is struggling that people have lost confidence in their governability. And that also then, of course, has a contagion effect onto hospitals and quality of education and all the other issues. Because the Labour Party can no longer say that, well, you know, we are the party who are actually best able to conduct the policies and actually implement policies.
Yeah.
And that aura has, in a sense, been transferred to the Conservative Party, which is the party that has had the second most number of years in government in Norway.
Yeah.
So this is unusual for the Labour Party. I think that way you can say that terrorist act indirectly has hurt Labour, not because of the way they handle the terrorism itself, but because of this condemning report from the Royal Commission.
It's amazing how counterintuitive these things can sometimes become. Thank you so much for your insights, Frank. Really, really appreciate it. It's Frank Orrebrot from the Department of Politics at the University of Bergen speaking to us there about the Norwegian elections. It's 27 minutes to 8. Drawing room up a little bit later, but Monday Muse up next.